Welcome to the Wicked Wallflowers Club. We are Jenny Nordback and Sarah Hawley, and this week we are joined again by Leah Holtenschmidt, who is the editorial director for Forever and Forever Yours at Grand Central Publishing. And she's the editor to past guests such as Abby Jimenez, Katie Robert, and of course, Carolyn Brown. We chat about her recent trip to Scotland, all the amazing books she's got in the works, and her super cool hobby of handmaking cards. With no further ado, here is our interview with Leah Holtenschmidt. We are joined once again by Leah Holtenschmidt.
Oh, it's so good to be here.
And last time we had Carolyn Brown on, and she is hysterical.
She is a hoot.
We thought this time we'd just focus on you and your editorial genius and all of your awesome clients and see where we go from there. So maybe a nice intro this time, since we know how you got into romance, would be you've just gotten back from vacation and you were in my homeland of Scotland.
Yes, I was very excited to take a trip at the end of June to spend about 10 days in Scotland. And we went to Edinburgh and spent a night in Stirling and then up to Inverness. And it was so amazing. Not only the scenery, and there was actually sunshine, but to see all of the history that you've read about, all the Mary Queen of Scots biographies and historical fiction that I love so much, to see those real places. It was kind of, they say Scotland is magical, and you could absolutely see it, like just in the history. And then we went up to the Isle of Skye and the Fairy Glens.
Yes.
It
should be on everyone's bucket list. You can't explain it. There's like a feeling and it just feels magical and it's so beautiful.
It really did. We had a tour guide who was talking about it being the inspiration for Tolkien.
I didn't even know that.
In Middle Earth. And it was amazing because we had been to New Zealand last summer and saw the fake Middle Earth at Hobbiton. So seeing the real life inspiration for that landscape, you could easily imagine how it would just be its own fantasy world. It was very cool. And I can see also why it inspires so many writers.
Yeah.
The whole land was amazing.
Yeah. I can't explain it to people who haven't been there. And I think people pick up on the magic because, like, why are we so obsessed with it? Why are there so many stories on such a small place with not that many people? But just, it is. There's something special about being there.
And they are all storytellers.
Right?
That's fabulous.
As a place, it has its own sense of humor. There's like a kind of playfulness to everything that's going on.
It's true. And that dry wit. But it was wonderful. And it was great just to sit and hear everybody's stories and the delicious accent.
Totally.
Can I just
keep talking?
Can I just record you? Does everyone sound like David Tennant here? Because this is kind of amazing.
That's awesome. Yeah. So it was funny because Leah emailed me to be like, hey, do you have any recommendations? I know this is where you're from. And of course, I write this like novel of an email of like, here are all the things you should do. And they all involved driving. Like, you need to drive up this road and drive back down this other road. And you were like, we're not driving. We don't drive.
Yeah.
And I was like,
being a New Yorker, my husband and I don't own a car. And driving on the other side of the road just felt terrifying. So thank goodness the train system in Scotland is wonderful. And it worked out perfectly for everything we needed to do.
Yeah. You can like still get to, and the train is like kind of romantic in its own right.
It was. We had beautiful weather. I was joking my office mates when I came back from vacation, they said, you look so tan. I thought you were going to Scotland.
Land of vampires.
Exactly. But it was, in the middle of summer. So the sun rose at 4:30 in the morning and didn't set until after 11 at night.
It's surreal, right?
It was wild.
Yeah, it messes with your head when you're back there. Yeah, I'm not getting to go this year. And it's the first year in a while that I haven't gone and I'm like fiending. So I'm itching for other people's stories. And my parents are going next month. And I'm just like jealous. But
well, read the bookshop on the corner, around the corner, the Jenny Colgan.
This isn't on my radar.
Oh, it's so fun. I read it before I went. And it's about a woman who is just, she's, the library that she works at is downsizing, and she's just going to follow her dream of taking a van and making a traveling library. And she lives in England, but the only van she can find that suits her purposes is up in Scotland. So she has to go there, and it's this remote area, and she's meeting all of these, you know, super busybody Scots, because it's a small town and everyone's in everyone's business. And it's so charming and so wonderful. And it was like the perfect way to get me into the mood, you know, to go to Scotland. It was wonderful.
I love doing that when I'm going on a trip, like finding books that are set there. Like reading nonfiction about there can be cool, and like history books and whatever, but I love finding just like really good fiction that gets you into that. I struggled with that when we went to New Zealand. I was desperate for fiction that was set in New Zealand. And I wasn't having, I don't know if I just wasn't, there was like the Land of the Long White Cloud or something like that. And it was like a translated historical fiction. And I think it probably was just, some of it wasn't working in translation. I think it was like originally in German or something. And it just like, it wasn't doing it. It was clunky. And it like, I wanted it to be something and it wasn't.
It sounds so serious. I was reading Rosalind James.
Oh my God. I am
like a rugby player
through that series. Yeah. But I had not discovered that. I got that when I got back and I was like, give me New Zealand romance. And someone came through for me and I was like, yes, I really enjoyed that. Was just like bubblegum.
Yeah, exactly. Like, exactly. Yeah,
I can't even think of the titles now, but it's like, one of them is the captain of the rugby team, and he's like a celebrity in New Zealand, and she has no idea
who he is. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's like the sports story and the celebrity story and hot Kiwis.
Yes.
So it was really fun.
The second one was like the pretty boy, like ladies' man, but he's, and I think it was like a heroine was being stalked, or I don't remember. I just loved those books. People should read them. Yeah. But yeah, more of those.
Yeah, it's fun to read about, you know, the places that you're going to, or I always like to pick up books or my souvenirs from countries. We always go find some very cool bookshop and something. I love history and I tend to gravitate toward a lot of historicals. So whether it's fiction or nonfiction or a memoir, that just kind of reminds me of the place. Mm. And then my library shelf ends up also like my souvenir shelf. If I don't buy jewelry, that's the other thing to get when I'm on vacation.
Fair.
I'm like, it's small and packable. And every time I wear it, I'll think of this trip.
Yes.
So, yeah. But books are fun.
Speaking of historical, I think when we release this, you will just have had a new historical come out. And we were just talking about it and I'm really excited. So
yeah, one of our big books this fall in September is called The Paris Orphan by Natasha Lester. And she's an author from Australia, actually. This is her second book released in the United States after The Paris Seamstress came out last year. And just kind of was one of those fabulous publishing success stories that everybody loves. It was a bit of a sleeper on our list. We hadn't really done a whole lot of historical women's fiction before. It had romantic elements, but it wasn't necessarily a romance. And we launched it and it started to do really well. Barnes & Noble was selling the heck out of it. And Canada, God bless them, really loved this. It was a World War II set, but dual time zones. So there was a contemporary story along with this historical aspect.
I love when authors play with timeline
that. It's so clever. Fun. And all of these family secrets coming out, but strong female characters. It's a woman who's fleeing occupied Paris to come to New York. She really only has like the dress on her back and a few francs, and she's going determined to make it in the world of fashion. So this is... And it just started to do really well. And next thing I knew, we were in our third printing of the book and then our seventh printing of the book. And next thing I knew, we had sold over 100,000 copies of the book.
Oh, that's amazing.
So it was one of those, and accounts just kept coming on board and coming on board. So we're all super excited for the release of The Paris Orphan this fall, which is loosely based on the story of Lee Miller, who was a model turned photographer. And so the character in this book, her name is Jessica May, and she is a former model for Vogue who decides at, is war is breaking out, that she's going to be a photographer. She's taken some pictures. She's pretty good at it. And she gets a chance to go overseas. And there's great cameos by Martha Gellhorn, who's a female correspondent for the war. And it is so lush and divine. And you really get to see how hard the women over there had to fight for every single opportunity. You know, the men got to go into different places and they just wanted to relegate the women, like, go talk to the nurses at the field hospital. But it's also, in some ways, they were like some of the first journalists to be embedded with the troops. It's great relationships. And then there's this little girl whose parents, when they were fleeing France, just put her into the arms of a soldier and said, you know, take care of her. Her parents were being pulled away. So there's this orphan girl at this field hospital that our heroine is falling in love with, and there's a soldier taking care of her. And it's just, it's a wonderful, amazing, amazing story. And then in contemporary times, there's an art curator who's gone to this amazing chateau. The research that Natasha gets to do for her books is the best I've ever seen in my life. I was like, I think I need to accompany you on your next research trip because it's absolutely amazing. So a woman who has found a cache of photographs and no one knows who they're from. And of course, it's not a huge shock.
Stuff like that when I
to find out, but she's learning the stories and then learning her own family's stories at the same time. And it's such a great book.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's a beautiful book too, like the cover, and it's just like got a feeling to it.
I'm so excited about this book. This is the technical, nerdy publishing side of me. I'm like, we get to have French flaps, which is the trade paperback that has the inside flap instead of you turn over and read the back cover.
I know what you're talking about now that you say it, but I would never really thought about it being like a thing that...
It adds production costs. So there's like... It usually is for certain levels of books. And so we get to... And you see it with some of the... like Lost Girls of Paris and My Dear Hamilton. I think we bought about 17 copies of My Dear Hamilton because accounts kept wanting to see mock-ups of what our book was going to look like with the cover. And the spine size and the décolletage and the French flaps just happened to match it exactly.
I love when you share stuff like this because we have no idea that stuff's going on in the background and that you're having really think about it.
Yeah, so you're welcome for all those royalties, Laura, Stephanie.
Just doing your part.
Exactly. I'm sure the buyers will love seeing like, oh, this helps. Thanks for making our book look great.
Yeah. You contributed.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. What else do you have coming up? Like, what are your sort of fall, winter releases that... You don't have to name all of them. Editors are like, I'm going to forget one. And I'm just like, whatever comes to mind, these are not your favorites. It's okay.
No, we have such a wide range of books and there's a lot I'm always super excited about. We have in October a book by Jay Daniels called Down Too Deep. And it's the fourth book in her Dirty Deeds series, but you don't necessarily have to have read them all. The first book was Four Letter Words and that one was like super sexy and amazing. This one is also very sexy, but it just tugs at my heart so much. It's about two single parents, and the father has a very young daughter whose mother passed away shortly after she was born, and he still feels very guilty for her death, and he feels like he has no idea how to be a dad, and he thinks that his daughter must hate him because she's crying all the time. And it's heartbreaking to see him think that like, oh, well, my parents should just take care of her because I'm obviously no good. And finally his parents are like, okay, well, we've been with you for 6 months, 8 months, whatever it is. You need to figure out how to do this because you're her dad and she needs you. And so he owns this beachside diner And he brings her to work. And of course, little girl screaming and gets out of the office where he's trying to keep her. And a patron brings her back and offers to help him. Like, I'll watch her while you work. And she helps him see that he can be a great dad. And that moment when his little girl lays her head on his chest and he realizes...
Oh, no, I'm going to cry. You
can't. Oh, my gosh. And that's not even the end, but it's as he's learning, it is so... I definitely pack your tissues because it's so emotional and so beautiful.
That's... Yeah. Oh. But there's a mood, right? Like, you get in a mood where you're like, this is, I just want something that's gonna like go there. Mm-hmm. And it's funny how you don't think that would be a thing, but I see it in our Facebook group pretty often. They're like, I'm ready to cry. What is the most heartbreaking book that you've, but it's often like we want a romance. Like, right. I want the heartbreak and I want that like catharsis and I want something that's really gonna hit my feelings.
Yes.
But I want the safety of also a satisfying love story.
Knowing that there's an HEA and knowing, yes, he so surprise, he falls in love with the woman who's taking care of his child.
Shocker.
Who has two 8-year-old twins who are adorable throughout the whole thing. So I think one of the things that Jay Daniels does so well is she balances the super heart-tugging emotion with a lot of lightness in character banter and some really great hot sex scenes.
That's such a good mix. Well. Like, it's to juggle all of that.
I know. I don't know how she does it. And it feels so authentic and seamless. And it's a great slow burn for this couple. So it doesn't feel, you know, like they're just jumping in the sack. There's no insta-love or anything like that. It just, she does a really great job.
And what's that one called?
It's Down Too Deep.
Down Too Deep.
And for those who've been following the Dirty Deeds story, it's Nate and Jenna.
Okay.
Yeah. So, nice. But if I could jump in, you were talking about a weeper.
Yeah.
And how some people just need that
I'm going to use that. I didn't know what to call it. Now we know what to call it.
Oh, yeah. I like to call it a weeper.
Yeah.
One of my coworkers likes to call it, she has a hanky rating system. There's a one hanky read, but she's really looking for a 3 hanky read. I think it's like the JoJo Moyes effect, you know? So we've been experimenting a lot, not only with historical fiction and the trade paperback side and other women's fiction. And this Weeper is our first kind of, you know, I'm trying to figure out, what do I give away first? Listen to the editor's brain.
It's so
move
as
she gives her pitch. No, it's about this young woman who has just gotten a diagnosis of cancer. She thought she had it licked and it's back. And they realize that she will probably not live out the year. And and all she wants, the only thing she has ever wanted in her whole life, is a wedding. She doesn't care if there's no groom.
Oh, wow.
She wants to go through the experience of buying a wedding dress and choosing the flowers and having a big party and getting everyone together as like a big celebration. And her family is like, you're crazy. What are you thinking? But then they get over it and they all get behind her. And her friend puts a post on Facebook that goes viral. And suddenly everyone wants to donate to this wedding and help her live her dream and have the most perfect moment of her life. And a magazine picks up the story and they start following all of the wedding planning and they send a photographer out. And she has this immediate connection with this guy. And you get to just watch their interactions and you watch them fall in love and you know it's going to be heartbreaking. And it's called Photos of You by Tammy Robinson, and it's coming out in February. And it is beautiful and so tender and so emotional. And Lexi, my coworker, is still so mad at me that I didn't tell her she should have waterproof mascara on.
So we've been warned.
She was reading the book with me because she was reading it at the office. We were trying to read it really fast. And definitely have your waterproof mascara on for that one because it's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. Does it have an HEA? It's not romance.
It is. No, it's not romance. Okay. You know right from the first chapter.
We're not getting a miracle. It's just that exactly. is the reality.
There's no last minute save. And a lot of it is his decision. Can I do this?
Yeah.
But it's... I felt like as I was reading, there's so much uplifting about it because everyone's coming together in this wonderful celebration and everybody's pulling together to help out. And there's just this great feeling of family and community and friendship because her friends are all very involved and want to do this for her and everything that she's going through. It is definitely emotional. I'm not a big crier of a reader, and I was teary. It wasn't a like bucket sob for me because of that uplifting element. And I think for me, that's something that's really important. I can't go in and just read like down depressing. Right. Oh my God, everybody dies. This is horrible. Without that element of, oh, but she got this thing, you know, in there.
Abby is one of yours.
Abby Jimenez, yes. And she wrote The Friend Zone.
Is there a next for Abby? Like, is
there
that,
is.
What is, can you tease
I can.
That?
I can. So, Abby Jimenez wrote The Friend Zone, came out this summer. That was her debut, and it hit the USA Today bestseller list, which we were all so
right out of the
excited
gates, right?
about. Yeah, it was her first week, and it's just been so solidly steady all summer long. It's been amazing. So everybody, I think, is eager to hear what she's doing next. And it is the best friend story from The Friend Zone. So Sloan. Yeah, I can talk about it.
There's like the pause of like, how much can I say?
And it's called The Happy Ever After Playlist.
Oh.
And it'll be out in the spring. I don't want to give too much away for people who haven't necessarily read The Friend Zone yet. Because Sloan is such a big part of that book too. Yeah. I can say that The Friend Zone is super snarky because the character of Kristen is super snarky. And Sloan is a very different character, but it's still really fun. It opens with a dog jumping through the sunroof of her car and a cop pulling her over and giving her a ticket for obstructing traffic. And she's like, not my dog. I swear, officer, this is totally not my dog. And of course, the dog's looking at her like tongue lolled out, being like, I love you. Which I think the line is something like doing the best. Of course, I'm your dog impersonation ever.
That's amazing.
It's hilarious. And then she's trying to find the dog's owner and it's not answering his phone. And she's like, well, my dog now.
And oh.
until he calls her back.
That's such a good meet cute.
It's
these creative things that people come up with.
It's fun. Like, well, Abby's great with dogs. She has three Yorkies of her own, including stuntman Mike, who is a character in The Friend Zone, and another duck tolling retriever named Tess. And they all have their own Instagram accounts. Stuntman Mike and Tess each have their own Instagram accounts.
Juggling Instagram accounts for my dog. Like, I have enough
Stuntman
social
Mike
media.
Is a dog worthy of having an Instagram account.
That's fair. But like, oh my God, keeping up with it to start with is hard. But.
Yeah. Yeah. She's, so dogs are always going to be a really fun part of her books.
That's cool.
As well.
We just said Instagram and it made me realize I started following you recently and you make cards and they're the coolest thing. And it makes me want to do it now because it makes the card that you give someone such a like thoughtful, it's a creative outlet. It's like, how did that start and how has it evolved for you?
So my Instagram account is nothing to do with work-related stuff. It's not very bookish.
It's your escape from work.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I follow some authors and I like their stuff, but you won't find, you know, beautiful book cover pictures on my Instagram account. Well, going way back, it all kind of started after I got married and I wasn't planning a wedding anymore. And I felt this weird depression and I didn't know wrong with me. Yeah. And I looked at my husband and I was suddenly like, I think I need a hobby. Because reading, I obviously do a lot of reading. I do a lot of reading for work. I do a lot of reading for pleasure, but it didn't feel like a hot, you know, yeah. You still need something else. And at the time, I was being more and more involved in some of the cover processes at work too. So I started to do online scrapbooking, like digital scrapbooking. Mm. And I would take photos and little like freebie embellishments and stuff and put together digital scrapbook pages. And part of it was learning like a fake Photoshop program so that I could see what was possible and what wasn't. For book covers, you know, can we move this? Can we do this? Can we change this color? Yeah. And part of it was to help learn a little bit more about like a sense of layout and type and composition, because I didn't take art classes. I'm terrible at art. I'm not very artistic in any way whatsoever. And at the time it was all like little freebie packs and stuff. And I would just put them together online and I would think like, oh, who would spend all that money on like real stamps and real paper?
And they got you.
And then it totally suckered me in. So I started making their handmade cards and I have way too many accoutrements for a New York apartment with all the paper.
I do not have a
craft room. I have a craft bookshelf in our living room, which we reluctantly had to clear of books.
It was a
very hard thing because my husband's an editor too. So we have a lot of, we don't have a guest room, we have a library. But that's what happens when two book people move together. I just started making cards and it's really fun and it is my creative escape and outlet. And now I can't get away with ever buying a card again. But it's fun to think about, you know, like, oh, this person loves green or this person loves gardening. So I'll make them a flower card and personalize whatever we can.
I love it so much. there's so many pieces of it that I love where like, most of us don't even send cards anymore. And if you do, it's like you've just grabbed one and sent it. And like you maybe were like, oh, this reminds me of that person. But like to design it, there's so much thought and personalization that goes into it. And like, do you think about it ahead of time? Like how many cards can you do where, like, obviously you're not sending out hundreds of these. So is
no.
it like,
oh God, no.
You know, my husband's birthday is coming up. I'm going to make him a card or.
Yeah.
Do you have some that are just like you make for, you don't know what the occasion is for?
Yeah. So I have, you know, kind of like my running calendar of everyone's birthdays and anniversaries. And it's so cute. It's everyone at the office gets a birthday card too. Aww. So they all know like, and
no expectation, I'll get some, right? Like, you're going to like forget
not so
one.
Subtle reminder. Sometimes it's like become a thing. If they don't, I'm in trouble. But I love doing it. And so, yeah, sometimes it'll just be like, oh, I have an idea for a card. I don't know who it's going to. I don't know what the occasion is. And sometimes it's like, oh my God, our anniversary is coming up. And I got to think of something I haven't already done the last like 7 years that I've made cards. It's still going to be fun. It's time to buy a new stamp set.
Now there's pressure, but it also gives you an excuse
But it's crazy because I brought a bunch of supplies home once to my parents' house and we did a little craft day with some of my aunts and my mom. And now my mom totally does it too and does card making. And
it's made me want to start.
Oh.
I'm like, I need to get, I don't know what like the starter kit is, but I really want to do it. It just seems
so doable.
How long
are you in New York, Jenny? we'll get some supplies over.
We might have to do it for like, I just don't feel artistic, but I like that creative outlet. So like I can sort of knit, but I'm not very good at it. And it just takes too much. It's too finicky. So being able to just like make something and be able to give it to someone.
Well, there are two great advantages. One is it's fairly instant gratification. Like it takes a couple hours to make a card. I mean, some take longer than others, but you can be done with it in a day, way less than a day. And two, you're giving it to someone so it's not taking up space.
Yeah, exactly.
In your home and all of the other things there. But it does, it's a community thing. My book club, which is a number of other people in the publishing industry, we all used to work together at one point, and we have a romance book club. Oh, we've been cool. meeting every month for, I think we figured out it's about 6 or 7 years.
Oh, that's amazing.
No, yeah. And one of the girls one day was like, I think we should have a craft day because there were some knitters and crocheters. And so I brought some supplies over and we all got together and some people started knitting and crocheting and sewing. And so I was making cards and they were like, how do you do that? And how do you, and now everybody just makes cards. The whole time. They still do their knitting and crafting, but it's so easy. Like, it's such a low barrier of entry. You don't have to learn anything.
But I think you get something out of, like, making something, and it's like we all need that creative outlet and we don't have it. Like, a lot of people, I've been trying to do, like, bullet journaling, and I see the beautiful things people do with theirs. Yeah. And I can't. Like, it doesn't do
if
it for me.
If I had a shred of artistic talent, drawing talent, I would totally love that. But I can't. No, I need the stamp to do the image for me. Yeah. And then I can color it.
Yeah. Well, like coloring books are awesome. Yeah. But the coloring book, it just doesn't.
But then what do you do
like
with
a card,
it?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's in the coloring book and it's just like, that's where it's going to go to die.
Yeah.
Versus like being able to use it to bring someone some joy and like tell them that you, well, especially because so many people in my life now, I feel like a lot of us are shifting into the, like, we want less stuff.
Right.
So like, you want to be able to give gifts, but not have to like give them something that they don't really want.
Yeah. Yeah. Just like, to give
just
something.
Give more stuff mm-hmm. that they're now obligated to keep or have to like decide to get rid of. So yeah, I just clearly I'm like super excited about this idea. So sorry, everyone who's to listen to me nerd out over this. But if you are not relating to this, go look at Leah's Instagram and I'm pretty sure you'll feel the same way.
Oh, that's sweet of you. Thank you.
No, it's, yeah. And we might have to go figure out the starter kit.
Yes. Yes. DM for private lessons.
What is your budget, Ms. Nordback? Right. Yes. Just give me your card. Yeah. We'll make it work. Yeah. I thought that was going to happen with like planners. I see.
Right.
Like, there's a big obsession with the planners.
But yeah. The whole planning community.
I like using it, but I just like scribbling notes. I can't, the washi tape, and I just like don't really know what I'm supposed to do
with
it.
I like collecting the washi tape. It's so pretty.
Yes, it is.
And then what do you do with it?
Yeah. You have to make yourself use it.
That's true.
Yeah. As far as like, we've heard a couple of your projects that are coming up. Mm-hmm. What are you like looking to acquire? What would be the like, what's the Leah fantasy list? Or is there one? Are you just looking to be surprised? Like,
well, I certainly love being surprised. But the thing for me, whenever I'm looking, it's always, how can I market this book? How do I package this? How do I present it? I'm usually about 40 steps ahead of everything thinking, what's the cover copy going to look like for this book? Because it's all about how can I position this book to make it sell? Mm. So what outlets am I looking at? What are the trends in the market right now that I can hook on? What are the pieces that I pick up on, even if it's not a certain trend where everyone's going to be like, ooh, tell me more. I need to read that.
Yeah.
There was a book I edited ages and ages and ages ago called Driven by Eve Silver. I think she's writing under Eve Kennan at the time. And I used to tell people, I'm like, well, it's a post-apocalyptic trans-Siberian trucker romance.
Sold.
Right? Right? So that's always fun too. But to try to find that market in today's realm would certainly be trickier. And I would
but it is
to be creative, but
we're
it's
getting
fun.
Those shorthands.
Yeah.
Like that was like I was trying to think of ways to like explain mine and I was just explaining mine to Leah, but I was like, it's Slytherin Hufflepuff, but the Slytherin is the heroine this time.
Mm-hmm.
And like those little, you know, like we're all sort of looking for like those shorthand tag recs of like how you get it out into the world. And like, what's the, the spin on it that's like familiar enough that we're eager for it,
yes,
but different enough that we're like, I haven't read that before.
Right. What,
like,
what does that mean?
The rock star romance where whatever, like, yeah, I can't come up with them, or yeah, if I could, I would be writing them. But
no, it's really fun. And I think Hollywood does it all the time with the log lines.
Yeah.
And in publishing, we do some with pitches. I find it really useful. Some people don't. There's one of my authors, Amy Jarecki, writes these sweeping Highland, like epic historicals that when I was in Scotland, I gave my husband a whole history in the Earl of Mar, and it was like straight out of everything I learned from Amy Jarecki. I love
it. Just like trusting that it's authentic.
Exactly. Or, oh, she accurate. Does her research. I know it's totally accurate. She just, it's all from the author's note at the end. He's like, oh, you're so smart. Yeah, I am. I read romance. but one of her newest books, The Highland Earl, I was like, well, it's, you know, Outlander meets Mr. and Mrs. Smith, because they're all of these spies. And so you just love.
Yeah.
And I love finding those things.
Yeah.
It's,
you know who's really good at doing that is V.E. Schwab. She doesn't even write romance.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
she can lay out her series of, like, if you like. It's like Harry Potter meets whatever. Mm-hmm. And you're like, oh, it makes sense. But I don't know how people come up with those. They're so clever when you do get them right.
Right. Well, I mean, the story has to lend itself in that way. So that's always what I'm thinking about when I'm looking at what am I acquiring? How am I going to pitch this? What's the hook that's really going to get people interested? If it's got a great title, that always helps.
Don't tell me that.
I know. Titles I'm are the sorry. Worst. People don't like to hear that. And I think they always assume, like, oh, well, the editor is going to change my title
That's
anyway.
What everyone says.
Why do I even bother coming up with something? It's like untitled rom com.
Oh, no. Yeah, I wouldn't do that to you. But it does take some of, if it's already there and it's already great, then you can kind of hook on to that instead of being like, you're having to try and think of what you would call it that would be better.
Yeah. I mean, the more other people can do my work for me, the better, as far as I'm concerned. Being totally honest.
Yeah.
No. Because that is a big part of our job too, is the title. Because it's a big selling point.
Yeah.
So we think really hard about that, the title and the cover and the package.
Yeah.
And how that's gonna work. So I think it's great for authors to think about it too. Finishing a book is wonderful and amazing and a huge accomplishment, but don't stop there.
Those like little, your pitch for it and like feed that to the editor, make it easy for you to do your job because you're going to have to go tell someone else about it. So the more they can have set you up to like have those hooks.
That's exactly it, is whether it's, you know, the author to the agent to the editor to the publisher, and then to the sales team, and then to the publicity team, and then the publicity team takes that out to the media. So obviously we're honing those pitches and refining them every single step of the way. But the more polished it is in the beginning, the easier it is to get that message out down the line and down the road. And I think that's where we have some of the most successful, that said, I was going to say some of the most successful books, but then I was like, that said, we've had lots of successful projects that have come in with absolutely terrible titles.
Yeah, well.
Okay, so,
but awesome. Well, thank you so much for sitting down with me again.
Of course.
I feel like we need to make it like an annual tradition
now.
But, and we may need to gallivant off and get some cards.
So yes.
Thank you.
No problem.